So, praise God. Wasn't this good worshiping this morning? And what I really liked, there was a phrase in that last song we just kept saying it over and over again. I know it was the blood. Now, what I want to encourage us and what I want to jump into here today a little bit is knowing is everything in life. From the time you're conceived, there's something going on in your brain that is enabling you to actually do stuff with your life. But it's not enough to just get the information. You actually have to experience it to some degree. Right? Now, I always relate stuff to guitar. And I was thinking about this, and I was going to maybe put a video up, but let me just describe it to you. There's this young guy from Poland that can just wail on the guitar. I mean, he actually does it with his fingers, and he does the percussion and everything else, you know? And it's really inspiring to watch somebody perform like that. And in the performance that Marcin does, you can sit there and say, oh, I see how to play the guitar. You just put your fingers on it like this, and you just do this, you know. I don't even need to do it. I already know how. I just watched him do it, you know. No, if you're going to know how to play the guitar, not just see somebody do it and say, think you know it. Is this right? It's going to take something beyond just information. Did you know that there's books that tell you how to do it too? You can read that whole book and say, now I know. But you don't. Why? Because you have to connect with it and then participate with that knowledge until it actually becomes who you are, not just something you know. Amen? And I'm thinking about this phrase about, I know it was the blood. I guarantee we don't know what that means completely. Is that right? Because in that phrase is the entrance into, and I wrote about it in this, there's a key to a door that is enabled in this knowing. But how do we get to that knowing? Paul said, I'm not done knowing. He gets to the end of his life and he said, there's one thing that's before me now. There's a mark that I'm pressing towards, is to know everything that's been given to me in the blood of Jesus. Amen? So there needs to be, I kind of like, you know, like what Luke was talking about. We have to adjust. There's going to have to be some adjustments in our perspective of some things if we're going to actually know our Redeemer and know what he's done for us. Amen? So I have some stuff I want to draw out on this because, it's already ours. Praise God. It's not something we have to feel bad about or it's not a weight. Oh, this is something I just want to encourage us with. Man, I was just in God's presence yesterday, and I'm thinking, wow, you're the creator. You're the almighty God. You have all wisdom. You have all understanding. And I'm here with you? You know? I'm thinking, one of his best attributes that I really like is that he puts up with me. You know? That he allows me to be in his presence. What an awesome thing. And it's not because of what I think I know. And I think this, if we can kind of relate this to Marcin the guitarist, we can't put God into our box and think we know him. You know what I mean? We can't say, I saw the stories he did in the Old Testament. And say, now I know him. No. He is huge. We can't even begin to comprehend how great he is. And he's here in this room right now. Amen? Wanting to open up revelation to us and allow us to be able to actually know him. This was his idea. It's not our idea to know God. Amen? All right, so let's get into what this knowing is. Are you good with me this morning? Okay, so on this first slide, I just want to look at it just a practical sense here initially. So knowing something is being introduced to it. That's the video. That's the manual. That's the instruction, right? But then you have to be inspired by it enough to see yourself in that. Is that right? Knowing something isn't just knowing about it. Pastor Kim was sharing on Wednesday. Boy, you missed Pastor Kim on Wednesday. And she was sharing about how there was this imposter. That the most famous imposter, I guess, that was, she could describe it a little bit better, but they put them, they assumed a position in the mill, in a warring time of war that was over the whole caring for those that had been wounded and stuff, like the medical part, and they didn't know anything about it. It's like, I want a brain surgeon that got into college because of what he could do really well. You know what I mean? I want somebody that knows something. There can be this assumption in our relationship with God that it's just something I know about him. And people can get proud of what they know about God. Like they're better than somebody else because of something they know. And it's like, don't you realize what a drop in the bucket your little minuscule understanding of God is? Because it's nothing compared to how great he is. And the only thing that allows you to even get close to him, to know him at all, is not pride. It's humility. Wondering how great he is and how much more there is to discover of him. Amen? So this introduction is important. You have to know something. You know, if there's no preacher, they're not even going to know. You have to know something, but preaching is not it either. You're going to have to embrace it. Amen? And then unite with it. You're going to have to become one with it. With knowledge, there has to be a connection in order for it to make an effect. Okay, we'll get into this a little bit more. Okay? Let's look here first, the importance of this. Have I relayed a little bit of how important this is so far? But let's look at Hosea 4:6 here. My people are what? This is God talking about his people. So his people can be destroyed. Is that right? Did you know that even in Christ, you're not shielded completely from destruction? If you're not choosing him, if you're not choosing the promises of God, and you'll see even with Paul, even when he was going through, man, he was shipwrecked, he was stoned, he was left for dead, all these kinds of things. Even when you're going through something in life, you can still be victorious in Christ. But if you're not in him, if your knowledge of the circumstances is greater than the knowledge of him, you will be defeated. That's what Jesus said. He said, if you don't build your life upon my word, amen, the storm's going to come and you're going to go down. This is God's people, isn't it? My people are destroyed for what? A lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being priests for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. Huh. Well, that was before grace. No, that's God. God hasn't changed himself. Amen. I'm grateful for grace. Man, we don't have to merit anymore. We go confidently by the blood of Jesus. Amen. But it's so important to not just sing a song, I know it was the blood, but to know what's going on in the blood. Amen? Now, some of the translations of this, and I believe this is the implication of this, that knowledge that it's talking about is the knowledge of God. And when it says knowledge, and again, most of the other translations include that. But there's this necessity of assessing where our knowledge is secure and where it's a little bit precarious. Amen? I'm really grateful that my understanding of decorations and clothing. We're so blessed right now. We're getting ready to occupy a home that's new for us, and my wife is just having fun. And you know what? I am too. Just watching her do what she does. And I'm grateful that it's not on me to be doing this stuff. Because that's something I don't know. Especially, I know it's going to get corrected if I think I know something about it. Right? But there's this necessity to know that there's peril on the other side of knowing God. And I think that's a part of the fear of God that is necessary, even in Christ, that there's something that is perilous if I'm not pursuing him, first of all, okay? And we have an understanding. I mean, we there's a lot of things that we are gifted at that we give ourselves to, amen? But above it all, King of it all, amen, has to be this pursuit of knowing him as if you haven't even begun. Amen? John 8:31. So salvation's freedom only comes by living knowledge. Jesus said to the people who believed in him, you are truly my disciples if, what? He didn't just say you're my disciples, did he? Said if you do what? If you remain faithful to my word, my teaching. Amen? That means you haven't just been impressed with my miracles. How many know that there were multitudes who were impressed by Jesus' miracles that never knew anything about him other than all the gossip, right? But that the ones that were going to, and that's why he after doing the big miracles, he said, but you're going to have to, I am the bread. You're going to have to consume me. It's going to have to be something that transforms who you are. What happens when you eat something? It becomes part of you. Is that right? And if you want to not have so much of you, you just don't eat as much. But here's how it is in the kingdom. Fatness in the kingdom is a good thing. Amen? As long as you're not just sitting on the couch with your fatness. Amen? If it's producing a source of energy for the kingdom. Amen? So he's talking about truth here, isn't he? He says, you're truly my disciples. You will remain true to my teachings. And then what? And then you'll know. Now, what's so important about knowing the truth? It's amazing how, especially in politics and people that are trying to get in power or whatever, they say, if you listen to what I say, you'll know the truth, and then you'll be free, and you'll get everything free. And I'm sorry, I just stepped into that a little bit. But it's amazing how this can be thrown about, that you'll know the truth, that somehow the truth, however you see it, is going to bring freedom to your life. No, because truth doesn't need your approval. Doesn't need your perspective. Is that right? Truth is the same whether you see it that way or not. And it's amazing to me, you know, this is America's perilous precipice that we're on right now, is exactly what we're talking about this morning, the perception of truth. And the enemy can come in, and this will be a warning for us. I believe we can pray towards this. But what the enemy wants to do is come into a nation that God founded, I believe. And how is he going to disrupt it? How is he going to bring it down? He's going to change the perception of truth. That everybody should just have the same thing. That it doesn't matter what you do. There's no personal responsibility. What is that? Is that? That's somebody's truth. But is it the truth? Because it's not coming down from God. It's not something that you can actually begin to build your life upon that. Is that right? So it becomes very critical, amen? If you're going to have the freedom, and some of the other translations talk about the freedom that it's relating to here is the truth about salvation, about the blood of Jesus. Amen? It says, if you listen to my... Now, and this is part of the key here. If we begin to align our lives with the will of God that's been brought from the Word, amen? Every single alignment with what God says in His truth brings us into a knowing of Him. And here's a big key that I want to draw out here today. The truth isn't just known by information. It's known by application. Knowing comes when you actually begin to do something with what you've been given. Now I can say, oh, I know that now. How many have found this out with God? You know, I'll just confess a little bit. I grew up, wonderful household, honoring God, holy God, and there's a lot of stuff going on. But somehow, as a child, I began to have this perspective of I needed to come up to a certain level to be this or that, you know, and feeling some guilt about, you know, things that are just natural in your life, you know, those kinds of things. And one of the very precious things that I'm still growing in is that God doesn't ever withdraw. You know? Because I knew Him as a child, but isn't it wonderful to grow in the knowledge of Him and have Him come alive in your heart and your life? Amen? That He's a real God that really cares about me. He understands all the stuff. And He still likes me. Amen? And He still believes in me. His promises are still true to me. Amen? But that comes alive every time I take something that He's given me and I begin to act on it. Amen? We were singing about joy this morning. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Do you have to work that up? No, all you have to do is get your focus on the presence of God. Amen? And joy starts coming in and displacing. And you know what? We've been told to do this. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice evermore. Without ceasing. Is that right? Well, I got to wait for something good to happen. You know, that's a word from God, isn't it? As soon as you act on that, start to rejoice. It's not just about your situation anymore. It's about your knowing of God. Amen? Because you've reacted to something that He said, and now He's no longer this God somewhere that you're just saying He's yay, God. He's actually somebody that you're participating in what He's promised. Amen? And in that, you get to know Him like you never knew Him before. Amen? And you say, give me some more of those keys. All right. So let's just look at truth here real quick. It's unaltered by opinion or perspective. All right? But it requires action for activation. Amen? Truth is meaningless if there's no revolution. Is that right? So, let's look at this. John 1:14. The way, the truth, and the life had to become flesh, man, to know and become our sacrifice. So I saw something in this that I thought was really cool. Is God's passion is to know us. Isn't that amazing? And He's very intentional about stuff He does. He goes, because of the blood, He can know us. That's His passion. But He won't impose our relationship upon us. It needs to come back this way. So what happened in Christ is very, let's just read this. So the Word became human. What's He doing? He's going to have to know us as a man so that he can be united with us in the Spirit. Amen? And this is something that he initiated. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. The Word, what is that? That's the information. That's the introduction. That's the cerebral. But what did he do? He came and became a man so that he could unite with us. Amen? Now, this is an example for us. He wants us to do the same thing back towards him. Amen? And what did he have to do? What did Jesus have to do to become one with us? He had to leave everything else to become one with us. Amen? And then embrace who we were. Did you know how stinky people were around? Jesus kind of got fed up a few times, right? And he said, how much longer am I going to have to put up with y'all, right? But it was necessary, wasn't it? And what did he do? He embraced everybody, even Judas. He let him give him a kiss, right? You know? Why? Because that was essential for God knowing us. He had to know us as a man. Amen? All right. Let's see. Matthew 16:15. So identifying knowledge is not something, though, even though he came in the flesh, the knowing of him cannot be in the flesh now. And because partly what he came to do is to give us new life in the Spirit. So knowing him back is not going to be something we can just do in the flesh. It's going to, we can't latch on to it in our brains and say, I know God because I know this. No, information is not it. It's the Spirit. Okay? Matthew 16:15. But you, who do you say I am? What he's asked them, he says, who do people say I am, right? And they're saying, well, they think that you're a prophet. Come back. They say all these different things, right? He said, but who do you say I am? And this is a very important question because it's identifying what they know, what they're embracing, and their ability to become a part of it, united with it. Amen? Simon Peter spoke up and said, you are the anointed one, the Son of the living God. And Jesus replied, you are favored and privileged, Simeon, son of Jonah, for you didn't discover this on your own, but my Father in heaven has supernaturally done what? Revealed. What is this? Revealed a knowing of an identity. Now, what's really cool about this is the key for the exposure to a knowing of God. But the second part shows what's necessary for an actual knowing of him. Because our knowing of God is not to just be in his presence. Our knowing of God is to unite with him in his purpose. Amen? That's where we get our most fulfillment. It's not in what God's doing in our life, but what we're doing in his kingdom. Amen? So, that was the first part of this, and I just wanted to put another statement right smack dab in the middle between 17 and 18 there and say, knowing Jesus as Christ, as the Christ, enables identification with him. So here's the thing. In the knowing of Jesus, he came, right, in the flesh. But he has to be identified by us as not just anybody, but Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen? Now, I just said that, and we think, I agree with you. There's a whole bunch there. We could spend a whole bunch of time on just what that means in itself. Is that right? Because there's so much more to it. But even in that understanding, there needs to be an embrace of it to the point where it's not just watching Marcin play the guitar. Yeah, you're the Christ. Yeah, everybody knows that. I'll even call you Messiah. No, it wasn't that. His purpose was incomplete if they just recognized who he was. He said, no. Now, here's what's going to happen. In that revelation of who Christ is, there's going to be a revelation of who you are in him. Amen? And this is the second part of this that I think is so cool. All right. I give you the name Peter, a stone. He said, this is who you are already. Amen? And this truth, what are we talking about? Truth here, right? It comes by the Spirit. Of who I am will be the bedrock foundation on which I will build my church. That means every single person that's going to be a part of the body of Christ. What did he say? The gates of hell won't prevail, right? Against what? A force that knows their God to the point that they're walking in the Spirit. Amen? And they're not just seeing him from afar. They've embraced everything that he's done and done in them, and now they become united in that. Amen? I will build my church, my legislative assembly, and the power of death will not be able to overpower it. The gates of hell will not be able to prevail. Amen? And here's the cool thing. And I will give who? The people that know who I am, embrace it, become united with it. Amen? This is why Jesus at the end could say, all authority's been given to me, now you go. Why? Because it comes in the revelation of who he is inside of us. Amen? All right. I will give you the keys of heaven's kingdom realm. Now you think, well, God's just going to do all that. Yeah, he is, through his body. It's kind of like, you know what? I can play the guitar. I can play it right now. But you know what I need? I need my hands. You see what I'm talking about? It's like God says, I can do anything right now, but I need some hands. I need somebody that's actually going to do it. Amen? That's connected to me, that gets all its instructions from me. Amen? And in those hands is going to be the keys to everything that I'm going to do. So there needs to be, and I'm going to encourage us in this, there needs to be some occupation of authority, some wielding of some keys. Amen? Because with each one of them is an actual other ascension into knowing of God. Amen. All right. Ephesians 1:17. So this stuff that we're talking about today, it's good information, isn't it? But I just want to encourage us. This is something that we get by the Spirit in the presence of God. Man, I was so impressed in prayer here this morning. Just that, man, God, we're home in you. We're content in your presence, Lord God. This is just so wonderful. But in the, you know, I was talking with Guy Pei last week too. I was asking him, he's back in my office there. We were talking. I said, so how do you prepare, you know? And he was talking about how, you know, he'd spend time in prayer. And he said, then I'll just, he called it meditation. He said, I'll just sit for an hour or so, just no agenda. I'm just in the presence of God, you know? And I was reading another passage about, the night before Jesus went out and called all the disciples to become, to follow him. It said he spent all night long with his Father. I'm thinking, Jesus needed this? Yeah, because there's some stuff about God you're just not going to figure out, and it needs to come by the Spirit. And it's going to have to be something, because you know what? We do other stuff that takes way more time than 1 hour of meditation. You know what I mean? But what I want to encourage us in is those precious moments that we do dedicate unto God, there needs to be an anticipation of revelation of our unity with Christ. Amen? So that we're actually desperate to know him more so that we can participate with him more. Amen. Praise the Lord. Colossians 1. Oh, I didn't read Ephesians, did I? Oh, man. And this is Paul praying for us. Say, this is for me. This is a prayer for me, right? I pray that the Father of glory, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, would do what? Impart to you the riches of the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation. For what purpose? To know. Amen? Now, sometimes have y'all been familiar with this passage? It's like, man, just help me to know about, but let's put it in the context kind of what I've been touching on. Not so that I can just have wisdom and revelation of who he is, but my place in him. Amen? Because the knowing of him is not just in the information of him, it's in the activation of a participation with who he is. Amen? And the spirit of revelation to know him through your deepening intimacy with him. All right, let's go to Colossians 1:27 now. Experience of Christ within powers of his glory without. Okay, so let me say that again. Experience of Christ within empowers his glory without. Amen? We were talking about this a couple weeks ago. We were talking about Christ in us is the hope of glory. I don't know if y'all remember that. Amen. And this is what this is referring to. Is this revelation, this knowing of him that takes place. How many want to see the glory of God? There needs to be a longing for this that we're praying towards. Amen. But in the praying for the glory of God, there needs to be a volunteering to be the one. Amen? Because the glory of God is going to be revealed through those who have discovered his hope inside of them. Amen? This is how the glory is going to be displayed, through a knowing of him that's not just a claim, but a living demonstration. Amen? Living within you. Where? Say, within me. Is that Christ that Peter was referring to? Amen? This is what Jesus was talking about. So upon this is what I'm going to build my church. Amen? And Paul's talking about these is living within you is the Christ who floods you with the expectation of glory. He floods you. It's not just him. It's you. Amen? And it's in the flooding of that revelation of who we are. The glory of God is going to be revealed. Man, let's be pressing towards this. You know what? The glory of God's going to be revealed in this place today because I know him. Amen? It needs to be this for our whole church body that I'm not going to get something from God today. I'm going bringing God today. Amen? And I have an expectation of glory because my knowledge of God is not limited to just what I'm getting from him. It embraces everything that Christ has done for me by his blood. Amen? Man, this is powerful, isn't it? Thank you, Paul. Thank you for bringing this to our understanding. And thank you, Holy Spirit, right now, God, that you are making this real in our hearts. Lord, we're not apathetic about this right now. We're excited about what you're wanting to do. We love you, Father God. Hallelujah. Living within you is the Christ who floods you with the expectation of glory. This mystery of Christ embedded within us becomes a heavenly treasure chest of hope, filled with the riches of glory for his people. And God wants everyone to know it. Amen. I'll tell you what, this changes your testimony. These kids over next door, they're telling their testimonies and stuff. And I was, And I think we were actually talking about Italy. And I said, did you get to tell your testimony? He says, well, Poppy, I just really don't have much of a testimony. You know, because I grew up where there's like Teen Challenge, you know, where you got people that are addicted for a long time. And actually, Derek and I were talking about that too. Derek's got a good testimony too. But, and that's, it's wonderful what God has brought you out of. But the biggest part of a testimony isn't what the enemy was doing in your life. It's what God has done in your life. Amen? And the more you get knowledge of what God is doing in you, the more it becomes your testimony. And I'll tell you what the world needs to hear is not, they need to hear where God has brought you, what he's brought you through, but they need to hear the triumph that Christ is in you now. And there should be some kind of story we can tell about how great it is to be one with him. Amen? There should be a transformation in our life that is tellable. Amen? And it will transcend cultures. You know, we have a lot of cultures that are coming in. And you know what? There will be an obvious difference. I had a friend come by yesterday from high school. And I got to spend about a couple hours here with him, and he was just talking and stuff. And I'm thinking, because he's not living for the Lord. You know, you can just kind of tell by some things. I was thinking, you know what? The biggest thing I can do right now, and he actually said this. He said, well, you seem to be so joyful and so, you know, seems to be kind of effortless and stuff for you. And it's like, well, you don't see everything I'm doing, but it hit me in the middle of this. One of the biggest testimonies we can have is the joy of the Lord. Amen? The peace that passes understanding. Amen? And it should be something we can talk about because the world doesn't get this. This is in the presence of God. Amen? And we're set apart from every other religion with this because of what we're talking about today. Our knowing of him isn't knowing about him. Isn't knowing how to serve him. Now, that'll be a part of it, but it comes from a heart. Amen? Because of passion for him. Amen? All right. All right, so what? This knowledge is critical. We're destroyed for a lack of it. In it, there's freedom in its truth. Amen? So if this is real, what is its enemy? If knowing God, and Paul said this, David said this too, said, one thing I desire, that will I seek after. To do what? Be in the presence of God and hear what he's having to say and have him hear what I have to say. Amen? It goes both directions, right? But if that's true, if that's the one thing, what's going to be its opposition? Knowledge. Knowledge is the answer, and it's also the enemy. Because it's going to be the thing that's going to come against knowing him. Knowing about a circumstance in life. Knowing about a strife that we're going through. Knowing about any kind of thing. And our meditation, that's why it's so important, like Gee said, to get in the presence of God. And I'm telling you what, you get in the presence of God, start speaking in the Holy Spirit, allow heaven's language to come out from the inside. And you know what? Those other mental things that can occupy you, when you're actually just turning your face towards God, you have to set them aside. Amen? They have to go. And they must go if you're going to know God. You can't be knowing about the problem. That can't be on your lips. That can't be on your regurgitation. Amen? If you're going to know the goodness of God in the land of the living. So, let me read this. Okay. Philippians 3:8. Are y'all good? All right. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the priceless gain of doing what? Knowing Christ. That means every other knowledge, right? And I have put aside all else, counting it worth less than nothing, in order that I can have Christ and become one with him. Isn't this, he's saying what I'm talking about, right? Not just know him, but to become one with him. No longer counting on being saved by being good enough or by obeying God's laws, but by trusting Christ to save me. Isn't that wonderful? That's kind of like what I was talking about in my relationship with him. It's just so good to just not sing about trust. It's just so sweet to trust in Jesus, but actually draw near to him as we trust him. Amen? Now I have given up everything else. I have found it to be the only way to really know Christ. What's he said? But giving up some other stuff. Amen? What an opportunity. I don't have to know that junk that's just going to drag me down. Amen? I don't have to be under its weight. How many ever feel the weight of that stuff? I mean, it keeps sneaking up on us all the time. It's kind of like, what was it, Cain? You know, he said, be careful. Sin is crouching at the door, wanting to draw you in. Is that right? And it happens in, sin is crouching at the door of our knowledge, continually wanting to, and we're never immune to it. It's always there. Is that right? So our pursuit has to become something that my knee reaction is not going to be to go under. My knee reaction is to look above. Look unto the author and the finisher of my faith. Amen. Now I've given up everything else. I found it to be the only way to really know Christ and to experience the mighty power that brought him back to life again and to find out what it means to suffer and to die with him. So whatever it takes, I will be one who lives in the fresh newness of life, of those who are alive from the dead. Don't you like that? Man, this can be our confession, can't it? Whatever happens in my life, my knowledge of Christ is going to rise and overwhelm it. Amen? Even death. Death is the biggest thing. Sometimes there's actually religions that actually do this. They say, and it's part of their, you know, getting into cerebral peace or whatever, nirvana or whatever. They say, imagine yourself as a corpse in a casket. Just absorb yourself. No, and get over it. Get over the fear of it, because it's going to happen to everybody at some point. And I don't think that's necessarily a good meditation for us. I think we need a meditation on God instead. But we need to get over death. Jesus came and took the sting of death. And I'll tell you what, our whole society is built around you might die if you don't do this. Amen? I mean, I found this out with some of the physical things I've gone through. It's like, if you don't take this, you're going to die. And it's that happened to my dad. My dad's like 89 years old when COVID came through. And he got COVID like right when it first came out. And he knew a doctor close by, and he went and got steroids right away, and he got over it pretty quickly. And, man, he's feeling good. But this doctor that he had his immune system was already built up from having endured the sickness, and yet this doctor kept saying, but if you don't get this vaccination, you're going to die. My dad wants to die. I think that's why he went to the vaccine. No. He did. All he could sing about was heaven, you know. But it was so funny because he yielded to the pressure of that doctor because he didn't want to offend anybody, you know. And he yielded. He went in to get the vaccination. And the nurse wouldn't give it to him. Isn't that amazing? It's like, whoa. But how much pressure is on us in different ways? If fear is the overriding, and the enemy wants to use it all the time. And I'm telling you what, I want to get to where, you know what, my life is over with anyway. We're going to see that here. That's what Paul said. It's not even me that lives anymore. So you're not going to threaten me with death. Right? I'm only alive unto Christ anyway. But don't you see how necessary it is to not just agree, but to actually be this? Amen? Because that croucher is always there. And we get used to giving in to the fear. We get used to reciting what the enemy's done, you know? All right. All right. So we're going to end with this, and this is so wonderful. Knowing Christ is losing every other identity to unite with Him. Isn't this wonderful? I'm so grateful that this, it's like Jesus said. He said, everybody that's weary and heavy laden, come to me. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. Get to know me. Amen. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Yeah. But this comes in this is where He's calling us to. And this morning, as we're talking about this, is this uplifting? I believe it's uplifting to our spirits. Amen. But it should be something that's also inspiring us going forward. Amen. This is not an oppressive thing that we have in our presence of our God. He doesn't say you have to feel bad enough, or you have to be lowly. He says, no, receive the revelation of this. And so I just believe that this is happening this morning, just as we've been talking about this. Amen? We don't even know what to do until we hear it. But man, the Word opens it up before us. Now the revelation of our unity with Christ is something that we're running into. Amen? Amen?